Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast. As we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale, please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that should perk the interest of each and every listener. You might ask the question, how did we get to the point and place that we are today? How did we get to the place in government where our government, House of the Senate, Oval Office, and all the embedded bureaucrats, how did it get to the point where we become the subjects and they are the seekers? They're the ones that's seeking to find and trace and track and listen to and control everything that we say. I want to remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that is a dictatorial form of government, not a constitutional republic. And I believe that God is in the process of progressively judging America because of turning our backs on God. I believe the only hope that we have would be to pray for our nation, pray for our leadership. Now, listen very carefully. I don't give any hope. There's not any aspirations on my part in believing that somehow, some way, because Kevin McCarthy is the Speaker of the House, that it's going to change things dramatically. Notice it took 15 votes to, and each time between each vote, twisting of arms, making more promises, more commitments, more offers, more threats to the conservative caucus, if you will. First of all, it started out with about 20 holdouts. Ultimately, he was on the 15th ballot, was elected as the Speaker of the House. If you go back and look at his record, you'll find, ladies and gentlemen, that Kevin McCarthy was the main stumbling block for Donald J. Trump in 2017-2018 that prevented President Trump from being able to implement the draining of the swamp as he wanted to do. Just saying, this is the reason I think that we need to go back to Proverbs 29:2. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear through, the people mourn. And that's exactly what we see take place in America today. We see a state of mourning because we see our rights, our privileges, our freedoms eviscerated. Now, perhaps you ask the question, why should Christians be concerned about our Bill of Rights? Why aren't those governmental issues, some will say? Ladies and gentlemen, if our Bill of Rights continues to be trampled underfoot, that means Christians and churches and pastors and evangelism and our liberties that we have in religious freedom and freedom of speech are all suppressed and eviscerated. If the government could say, close the church in 2020, when will they do it again? What would it take for them to do it again? One of the talking heads for the CDC, interviewed on television recently, made the blatant lie statement that in 2020 and 2021-22, that we had almost no national influenza. You know why? Because it was all counted as COVID out of the lies and the deception so that the government can control our health and our lives and our future, our values, even by closing the churches. Now, let me just do a little parenthetical footnote there. 10 years ago, 5 years ago, I would have never believed that if government issues a fiat executive order that churches must close, I would have never believed that church pastors would have submitted and surrendered our God-given rights and freedoms of worship. I would have never believed that they would have closed the doors. They did. We're here today. And the question is, could COVID cancel our Constitution? And ladies and gentlemen, in a variety of ways and fashions and nuances, it has done exactly that. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please. Jim, are you present?
Excuse me, sir?
Yeah, are you? Did you have a question?
Yes, sir, I did.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
All right. Yeah, I was asking. Okay. Well, let me start off with, I think COVID was used, well, let me start off with this. Our founding fathers knew God. They wrote it into our Constitution there, but they were wise enough to know the nature of man. I believe that there are individuals in our government that are using COVID to further their agenda. Yes. I've always been a firm believer that man cannot rule man just because of the inherent nature and weakness of our hearts and our minds. And they tried to institute a set of bills or rights that would prohibit or inhibit the evil people or the evil individuals that want to take that power. It's the individuals using COVID as a tool to remove those rights, and they've been doing it for years and years and years now. We don't teach civics. If everybody knew civics, this wouldn't even be occurring. If everybody knew Jesus Christ, we wouldn't even need the Bill of Rights, but that's another story.
Yes, that's right.
But, I'm disappointed in the state of our nation today. I wish people would wake up and literally smell the roses, sir.
Yes, in fact, Jim, if I may take a little moment and read some excerpt from Victor David Hansen's article that was published January the 7th. Title of the article, Respected Historian Asked the Question, How Did a Virus Cancel the Constitution? A renowned historian, classics, and commentator, Victor David Hansen, is posing the question about how did a virus cancel the Constitution. Further, he openly suggests that the United States has become a victim of a coup we never knew, end quote. Hansen, who has written for the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, National Review, the Washington Times, more and more and more now, has a column at American Greatness that outlines what has been described as a Fed surrection that originated when the seeds of sedition from within were sown under President Obama, not this present, but under President Obama. Hansen's first question, did someone or something seize control of the United States? He wonders, what happened to the U.S. border? Where did it go? Who erased it? Why and how did 5 million people enter the United States illegally? Did Congress secretly repeal our immigration laws? Did Joe Biden's issue an executive order allowing federal nationals to walk across the border and reside in the United States as they pleased? When did clean, burning, cheap, and abundant natural gas become the equivalent of dirty coal? How did prized natural gas granted America's wishes of energy self-sufficiency produce pollution? And inexpensive electricity become almost overnight a fuel that is out of control. Extraction was a war against nature. Which lawmaker, which laws, which votes of the people declared natural gas development and pipeline a near criminal activity? There was an unlawful seizure of power from our government without firing a shot. The U.S. government was overthrown. He goes on to talk about how because of the regulations with COVID, our U.S. government was overthrown and power was seized, and that power was ceded over to Joe Biden as a dictator. Now, do you think that this is an overreach, an overstatement on behalf of Victor David Hansen, or do you think it's a proper analysis? Do you believe that somehow, some way, as a result of everybody in government being wanting us to be fearful and the citizens being afraid that we surrendered and the government took power through a natural surrender of we the people? What are your thoughts on that, Jim?
Well, I read Victor Davis Hanson quite frequently there. I am a member of a site called Perseus Blade, which is his blog site, and where he publishes articles in greater extent. And the man's pretty dead on with a lot of what he writes there. And I would 100% agree with that, with those statements. I do believe that we have a problem with bureaucratic individuals in this current administration that were here from prior administrations there that, once again, are doing what they think is in our best interest because we don't know any better, according to their own thoughts, which just shows the pure evil. They're not exhibiting any humility or any graciousness for what they've been given in life, and they're going to be required to answer for that someday because to those that are given much, they're going to be required much. Yeah, it's just they would use some common sense and some godly wisdom, you know, and read the Bible. We wouldn't be in this mess from these individuals.
Absolutely. So, Jim, I think you'd agree with me that I say that the answer to where we are today, the quagmire that we're in, the loss of freedoms that we have experienced, would be as the 1 Timothy 2 text calls, pray for those that are leading, that is king. I call it pray for the kings, the prince, the princes, the presidents, the prime ministers, and the potentates that's over us. But as we do so, it says so that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. So the connotation there is in the scripture in that first and second and third verse of 1 Timothy 2 that we need to pray. And my prayer is, Jim, God remove Joe Biden. God, do something, intervene in some fashion, as you did in 2016, intervene, giving we the people some relief that we might go back to what we would call a central Biblicist worldview, as the people depend on God and trust in Him and have the freedom to worship, the freedom to go and move as we please and to say without being fearful of what's being said. It is my understanding, based on the scripture, that our hope is built on nothing less than the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, and that word of God. So I'm with you. We need to turn back to God. We need to pray and seek God's face. Jim, thank you so much for your call. Thank you for your input. Keep on looking
thank
up.
You.
Our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, I look at further in the massive article by Victor David Hansen. And Victor David Hansen says, was some state or federal law passed that allowed biological males to compete in female sports? Did Congress enact such a law? Did the Supreme Court guarantee that biological males as students could shower in the gym and the locker room with biological females? Were women ever asked to redefine the various sports they championed? When did government pass a law depriving Americans of their freedom during a pandemic? In America, can health care officials simply cancel rental contracts and declare loan payments in suspension? How could it become illegal for a mom or pop store to sell flowers and shoes during a quarantine, but not for Walmart or Target? What happened to the once trusted FBI? Why almost overnight did its directors decide to mislead Congress, to deceive judges, and to concoct tales from fake dossiers and other doctored wits? Did Congress pass the law that federal leaders in the FBI and the CIA could lie with impunity under oath? How did a virus cancel the Constitution? Did the lockdown rob us of our sanity? Or was it the woke hysteria that acknowledged our collective madness? We are beginning to wake up now from a nightmare to a country we no longer recognize, from a coup we never knew, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a powerful four-page article. I commend it to you. Again, the title of the article, Respected Historian Asks, How Did a Virus Cancel the Constitution? Victor David Hansen. look that up. It'll be worth your time to do so. But ladies and gentlemen, what Victor David Hansen was saying is exactly what I've been saying now for almost 3 years. We've been watching our Bill of Rights being eviscerated, destroyed, and it seems as though as there's a mindset among the people, among citizens, that it's the government. The government knows what's right. The government knows what's best for you. After all, the government will not hurt you. The government will not do anything. It was Ronald Reagan that said the most dangerous words is knock on the door, and someone answers the door and say, "We're from the government. We're here to help you." That's very dangerous today. It was then. It is today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that shows that's an example of what's happened as a result of COVID, where there's a greater intensity of the review and the watching of our speech and what's being carried on, what's being done under the guise of protection of the U.S. citizens in America. This article says mysterious government agencies participated in suppressing Twitter content, the Twitter files. The files, which mostly were internal communications among Twitter executives and employees, showed that unspecified agencies worked with Twitter before Elon Musk bought the company. The agencies were usually referred to, listen to this, it's not been divulged on television or any news source. The agencies usually referred to as other governmental agencies, that's OGA, inside of the Twitter. That's a Twitter terminology, the OGA, other governmental agencies. In one email from June 29, 2020, FBI San Francisco Field Office Ethics Elvis Chan asked Twitter executives if he could invite an OGA to attend an upcoming meeting. I wanted to follow up to see if I could forward this information to an OGA, he wrote. OGA briefing can also be frequently seen on the meeting agenda between Twitter and Foreign Intelligence Task Force, that's TITF. Further, the article states, Twitter was overwhelmed by requests from various agencies, mostly coordinated with the TITF, that is, again, the Twitter and the Foreign Intelligence Task Force, and the FBI San Francisco field office before the 2020 election, according to the reporter that reported on the Twitter files. Ladies and gentlemen, as a result of COVID, COVID has been used as the guise, as the smokescreen, as the umbrella, as the cloud that still supposedly hangs over us, that we the people, and I've talked with too many people, well, if the government says that you need to wear a mask, you need to wear it. The government says you need to close the church, you need to close it. If the government says you need to shut down business, you need to shut it down, because that's what the government says. Ladies and gentlemen, no place in our Constitution says that a virus could come along and it would overpower, overthrow, or contravene anything that's said in the Constitution. It's not there. And yet we have allowed it as a people, as a nation, and today we're suffering the consequences of it as we watch what is taking place in our nation with our freedoms having already been eviscerated, and there's no place to go, nothing that we can do, as one person said, no place to hide. And people like Lara Logan, a very well-respected conservative reporter, this article says Newsmax is supposed to be conservative. Newsmax drops journalist Lara Logan over reprehensible statements she made about immigration. Controversial comments cost journalist Lara Logan her job after Newsmax released her from what she said about illegal aliens. During a segment hosted by Eric Bolin, Logan claimed she was informed of UN plans, that's United Nations plans, to infiltrate 100 million illegal immigrants into the U.S. and dilute what they call the pool of patriots. And ladies and gentlemen, it's a two-page article going into details, but she doesn't have the freedom today to report on a free basis because, after all, COVID has given the government and governmental agencies and the arms of other agencies to intervene and to determine what is free and what you can speak and what you can't speak. Ladies and gentlemen, there's no such thing as hate speech. The word hate speech has been derived by our federal government, and they have categorized it. And hate speech today is anything that is not governmentally approved speech. Our Constitution doesn't differentiate between speech and so-called hate speech. Speech is speech. And free speech is free speech. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, the government says it's hate speech and it is disinformation and misinformation. If you question the 2020 election, if you question the 2022 election, if your mother goes before the school board and questions the school board about raw pornography being taught to her son or daughter, then all of a sudden that is a domestic terrorist and it's deemed as misinformation, disinformation, and even hate speech. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. What is your thought? What are your thoughts on the subject we're talking about today? Do you believe that as a result of COVID-19, do you believe that the government used that as a smokescreen, as a cloud, in order to introduce and to carry out things that otherwise would not be authorized or would not be viewed as being okay in any fashion? Today, ladies and gentlemen, citizens cannot question or challenge anything that's being said or done by the federal government. In fact, Dr. Anthony Fauci wanted it to be on Twitter and other social media platforms that if you said anything negative about Dr. Anthony Fauci, that would be should be considered hate speech. He was attempting to get that done on a blanket basis. And ladies and gentlemen, as a result of our loss of freedom, our loss of our Fourth Amendment rights, our loss of our First Amendment rights, our loss of all of our rights under our Constitution, we find people like Merrick Garland, the DOJ, that's now boasting of what it's going to do in the future. You realize, ladies and gentlemen, we still have about 500 or 600 men in prison, in jail, never been tried, never been convicted. But they are political prisoners as a result of simply being in the Capitol building on January the 6th. I'm looking at an article. Garland boasts of 950 January 6th arrests, and it could double, he said. Did you realize they're still searching, still seeking out, going to face recognition cameras and trying to find people that were there on the Capitol grounds on January the 6th 2 years ago? They're still trying to find them, and Garland is now boasting that in the very near future they will arrest others and bring the number from 950 to over 2,000. He says the number of January 6th arrests could double to 2,000. On the two-year anniversary of January 6th, Attorney General Merrick Garland boasted that more than 950 Americans have already been arrested for taking part in the protest turned riot at the U.S. Capitol and promised that our work is far from over, he says. Quote, I'm extremely grateful for the dedication and the professionalism and integrity with which they have done their work, speaking of the DOJ and the FBI agents. This investigation has resulted in the arrest of more than 950 defendants for their illegal roles in the attack. We have secured convictions for a wide range of criminal conduct on January the 6th, as well as in the days and weeks leading up to the attack. Our work is far from over, he said. They're still searching for those they can arrest and put into political prisons as a result of simply being in the people's house on January the 6th 2 years ago. Ladies and gentlemen, are we going to have Kevin McCarthy take a stand and say, let's release those political prisoners? I think not. Are we going to have, because we've got now the Republican control of the House, are we going to have an outcry for the federal government, the FBI, the DOJ to cease and desist the listening through and the eavesdropping and the violation of our Fourth Amendment rights, because now we have political leaders in the House that are supposed to be conservative, i.e. Republicans? I think not. And I'm not a doom and gloomist, but I don't think we're going to see a change, very much of a change. We'll see a lot of saber rattling, but I don't think it'll go any further than that. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go over with the question and comment, please.
Yes, I'd like to say that everything bad that is happening in this country is because the Republican Party has colluded with the Democrat Party to destroy the country. We have a uniparty. Both of them are against us. The Congress is the biggest enemy of the American people. And yes, I do not trust McCarthy to do anything.
That's I'm glad you said that, Derby, because what was he? You called it a uni party. I believe that we have just as much guilt on the part of the Republicans as on the part of the Democrats with what's taking place. It's the globalist mindset. It goes back to George H.W. Bush when 8 times in his inaugural address, he talked about the one world order. And we have that today permeating our society. And as a result of that, we see those weak, spineless rhinos in office calling themselves Republicans. And yet, what other choice did the people have if we did not vote for a, quote, Republican? But I want our listeners to understand, I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but I'm asking the question with a challenge to our listeners, Derby, to recognize that just because the Republicans are in control of the House does not mean that we're going to have a what you'd call a honeymoon for the next 2 years before 2024 election. What are your thoughts in relationship to the quality of a person that we have in Kevin McCarthy? Is he a true leader? Is he a true Republican? Will he carry out what he's promised? What do you think some of the promises were made behind the scenes in order to get the votes that he got on the 15th ballot?
He'll do nothing. He's proven to be a rhino from way back. And then he's going to say, oh, we cannot do something because we need the Senate to approve it. And we don't have the Senate. Well, we're never going to get the Senate until we have election reform, period. So I'm very disappointed in the Republican Party. I thought they were better, but they are no different from the Democrats. They're just better hypocrites. That's all.
That's a good way to put it, Derby. Thank you so much for your input.
Thank you.
You hit the nail on the head. Thank you. God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about could COVID cancel our Constitution? And the answer to that, it has, in fact, de facto canceled our Constitution. Ladies and gentlemen, as a result of COVID, hospitals across America fired doctors, fired nurses that refused to take the COVID experimental death jab, known as the vaccination. And ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, we're watching now hospitals without the medical attendance that's needed, without the doctors, without the nurses. And I'm looking at an article that says, major U.S. city prepares for nurses to go on strike, impacting hospitals. New York City Office of Emergency Management is preparing in case of thousands of New York hospital nurses to go on strike January the 9th. A situation room will bring together officials with the New York Police Department, New York Fire Department, New York Health Department, health care facilities, and other groups to keep eyes and ears on the health care system amid the strike, spokesman for the Greater New York Hospital Association told Politico. The article goes further to talk about the fire department has plans to reroute ambulances while the New York Health Department and the hospitals will implement an emergency plan to deal with the patients amid the staffing shortage. Ladies and gentlemen, the strike that is taking place, I believe some 5,000 or 6,000 nurses have already gone on strike. They're planning on having major strikes, and it'll include about 42,000 nurses across the state of New York. And you listen to what I'm telling and listen to what I'm saying, it's going to have a ripple effect across the United States of America. And it's as a result of COVID. It's as a result of COVID strong arms through the federal government, allowing the hospitals to fire doctors and nurses. And in some cases, with the hospitals and with the doctors having their credentials canceled because some doctors took a stand and said no to the COVID vaccination and informed the public on the death. We've had, according to one renowned physician, we've had 270 deaths across America with athletes falling dead on the field, on the playing field, on the floor where they're playing basketball, et cetera, as a result of the COVID jab. And it's all because our Constitution, our Bill of Rights have been eviscerated because of COVID. I believe it's time, ladies and gentlemen, we pray, seek God's face, ask God to heal our land. But I believe we need to pray and say, God, remove Joe Biden. God, place somebody in control that will allow a turn, a trajectory change that will allow America to survive. Ladies and gentlemen, our time is up, but thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
President of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly 9 to 10 for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.